Tempest, oh Tempest, you are the Quizzlemania champion. In my eyes, the leader of LIW, the most knowledgeable man in wrestling YouTube. Yet, they draw the short straws on the WrestleTalk team, and you draw it, and you have to talk about the WWE releases for the third time in 12 hours. How does it happen?
I'm in this time zone. It's a little bit easier for me to fill in on an afternoon show like this. And, you know, it's just the job sometimes. You just got to do this. This will be the third time that I get to talk about this lovely topic so far. But it means that I get to hang out with you, my man. It's been a little while since we've got to chat, and I'm very excited to be here a part of the show.
Absolutely. Tempest is here with us. We might have a pop-in from the Irish Chief, Alex McCarthy, so you can hear his thoughts despite going through a 9-hour flight over to the U.S. time zone. There is a lot to discuss on this edition of Wrestling Daily. I swear I want to do this show every week with Tempest. Seeing Tempest in the backstage area in the little box just
the music's so much jazzier than what I'm used to. I gotta listen to that high-pitched voice going jam that jam every day.
Oh, I just love it. Just love how you were in the groove, like you were in the zone. But that's the type of episode we're gonna have today on Wrestling Daily. It is me, your trio phenom SP3. I am with your Quizzlemania champion. I said WrestleTalk's been ducking me this week. We were supposed to do Quizzlemania, but then it didn't happen. So we have the one, the only Tempest with us. What's going on, Tempest?
Oh, not too much, my man. Not too much. I'm back. I'm here to talk about these stupid releases for a third time, but I'm here to talk about it with you. So it's going to be a new experience, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yes. And I believe we have a guest, a host, one of the others. There he is. There he is.
Yeah.
The Irish Chief is here.
I've made some time for the little people because me and The Rock are like this, son. No, I wanted to jump on though. When I actually saw your tweet, right? So I've just landed in Brooklyn. I've literally just got to my hotel room about 10 minutes ago. And I saw the tweet and I was like, oh, Tempest is on the show. I actually like Tempest, one of the most reasonable, balanced guys out there. So I wanted to quickly hop aboard and say my hellos. Welcome. And thank you, SB3, for stepping in, helping your brother out. And Tempest, you bloody love this, don't you? You love talking about livelihoods being taken away by WWE every single month.
I love it. I love it so much. It's my favorite thing. And they just keep giving me chances to do it.
The hits just keep coming and coming. But yes, we're going to be talking about WWE releasing a bunch of talent. Once again, 2 weeks after the latest batch of releases on this edition of Wrestling Daily. Remember to drop a thumbs up on the video, share it with your friends, subscribe if you are new, trying to hit that 15K goal so we can make Quizzlemania War Games happen. And of course, you could become a elite good egg by becoming a Wrestling Daily member and become a part of the show. Send in an Ultra Chat, wrestletalk.com/WrestlingDaily. But let's get to it. Tempest, Alex, WWE releases some talent about 9:40 or so p.m. Eastern time here in the U.S. Yeah, WWE, I guess, you know, Sean Rossap has sources everywhere. They called his phone. He's the one that I saw the tweet from, and it said that WWE was releasing Hit Row, Isaiah Swerve Scott, Top Dollar, and Ashanti the Adonis, John Morrison, Drake Maverick, Tegan Knox, Shane Thorne, as well as Jackson Riker. Just really, really baffling news with a bunch of those names. Tempest, you're the guest here. We're going to kick it over to you first. What was your initial thoughts when this news broke, and what was the name that surprised you the most?
Well, my initial thoughts was, I gotta get going again. It's 9:30 and I need to go and hop on a breaking news podcast immediately. Like I said last night, I got a text from one of my best friends to our group chat that just came up, and it was like a text message, but it was Sean Ross Sapp, just a tweet from Sean Ross Sapp. And I was like, well, that's not good, because it's never a good thing when you get sent like a piece of news to the group chat. And I see it and it immediately comes up and I'm like, oh Christ, all right. Honestly, the biggest surprise was Isaiah Swerve Scott.
Bingo. To me.
You know, other names on the list for sure, like John Morrison's a big name, and that's surprising as well. But Isaiah Swerve Scott has been probably my favorite WWE contracted wrestler of the whole year. He's been absolutely phenomenal. He's been my favorite guy. He's the total package. And if you're looking for a new top star in WWE, there was your guy. He fell right into your lap. You didn't have to develop him. He's a total package. He can talk. He can rap. He can cut promos. He can have great matches. He had it. He had charisma. He could have social presence. You couldn't ask for more out of a guy like that. And to not even give him a chance on the main roster. 3 weeks, not even a 3 week push, just 3 weeks on the main roster. I don't get it. I'll never get it.
It's very baffling, and why we have the title for this video as how incompetent WWE has been with their talent, because they literally just called these guys up a month ago. Alex, you said that you kind of found out as you were making your trip. What do you think is the reasoning behind this batch of releases happening so close together?
I don't think they know what's going on. What the fuck is going on in WWE? Like, from a perspective of, okay, Ashanti the Adonis, or, you know, whatever, B-Fab, sorry, went 2 weeks ago. And in that 2 weeks, they've gone, man, I don't know if it Rose going to, like, you know. They never knew is the answer. They never knew what they were doing with it. Why did they call him up in the first place? It's like Vince McMahon is just going out of his way to dismantle anything Triple H has built that's remotely credible for the main roster. I mean, I've said this a million times. You can't tell me Triple H hasn't, okay, he hasn't maybe given Vince exactly what he wants in terms of a Brock Lesnar every year or whatever, but he can't tell me he hasn't given him amazing workers and talents. He has. Yeah. And as I have Swerve Scott, out of all of these, I say AEW have to pick him up personally. I think he'd be the one to pick up. John Morrison, okay, he's like in his 40s, but I still think he can go and is great. Looks great, obviously. The guy's in forever shape. Tegan, yeah, she's had a few bad knees. I can understand that. But at the same time, I think there's a hell of a lot of upside there. But
yeah,
I guess from a business standpoint, although this wouldn't be my stance on it, but I can maybe understand WWE like, yeah, we've paid her a lot for a lot of time off. I don't know. I'm just riffing. Jackson Ryker, I'll sleep just fine, not watching him wrestle again. Shane Thorne, there was those reports once upon a time, like, ah, Vince is high on Shane Thorne. He was also high on Keith Lee at one point. Yeah,
Karrion Kross.
Yeah, he changes like the wind, so don't read into that too much. It's just, it's a shame, it really is. Well, I mean, obviously the headliners, as Tempest correctly said, Morrison, Knox, and the main one being Isaiah Swerve Scott. I just can't understand what the deal was with Hit Row. Like, why? I need to understand the command chain in WWE, right? Like, who has said, okay, let's get these guys up? Presumably it's Vince. I have no idea what the deal is there. Like, in order to Triple H go, yeah, these guys are... Because they get there, and then within weeks he goes, this ain't going to work, and they got to go. Like, what kind of chance did they get? Really? Did a weird angle with Sami Zayn, that's about it. Like, all right, cool. What was they meant to show Vince in that time? I think we all saw from them in NXT, particularly with Swerve as the leader, they had it, man. They had something that us, a lot of our fans, would buy. And unfortunately, that, what's the word? I'm trying my best to describe it. That particular kind of brand of wrestler, great wrestlers, basically, who have got character, it seems like AEW is their home now, right?
Yeah.
Like, if we want to watch them wrestle, they'll go to AEW and we'll enjoy them there. And that's kind of what we've been fed, because WWE are telling us that they don't value that type of wrestler. That's what I'm reading from the situation. And honestly, it's kind of upsetting to think, like, these are very, very talented people.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you kind of brought up like all the people in the past that WWE has been high on or Vince has been high on, and how that's kind of been a death knell. Now, as of late, if your name is in the news and they're talking about repackaging you or having big plans for you, yeah, it seems like that's the worst thing that can happen. Hit
Listen,
low.
Run. Vince said that Angel Garza was a young Eddie Guerrero once. That guy is going to be done. I'm telling you. That's kiss of death, Vince McMahon saying anything nice about you.
Well, you remember the report that was that Garza and Guerrero saved their jobs by that matchup that they had with Lucha House Party on Main Event. Like, that was the matchup that made Lucha House Party ask for their request for release, and that was the match that saved them, and they decided to make them a tag team.
Oh, it's unbelievable, really. But like, it's like we said, and kind of staying on topic of people that go to AEW and show actually what they can do. We're seeing it with Malakai Black. Andrade is starting to do that now. Miro, Jesus Christ, like, we always knew he could be what he is. Like, I feel like there's a litany of guys like that. And I put Keith Lee in that band as well. I think I had a tweet a year or so ago. I think it was maybe in January I tweeted this. But it was like, I can't believe that WWE have got Andrade, Keith Lee, and Aleister Black, and they're just not on TV, not doing anything. And now look where we are. Honestly, the worst thing, I can't offer a reasonable explanation to any of it. Trying to put your Vince hat on in this situation is impossible. And more than that, worrying is it like, when is it going to end? They've let over, what is it, 140 people go since last year. And I honestly can't tell where the cutoff point is. Like, what's... There's a lot of budgets to be cut here. I really don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, the last set of releases came on the same day they announced the record profits of $256 million that they made, and then they released people. I guess that number wasn't good enough, and they wanted it to be higher. They wanted to be higher for the fourth quarter, so that's why they decided to make this batch of releases. But I'll go to Tempest first.
I'm going to dip out and go eat anyway. Encroached. I've encroached far enough, but Tempest was too tantalizing for me to resist. But brother, thank you very much for coming on the show today, SB3. I'll be seeing you tomorrow in the flesh, my man.
Yes.
But all the love, guys. All the love. Take care. Bye-bye, Wrestling Daily fans.
Take care, Alex.
Take care, Alex. Enjoy your U.S. adventure. But yes, Tempest, I want to ask you, let's go through these names, and where do you think they will wind up? If they sign a place, they're going to go to the independents, where do you think these people are going to wind up? Let's start with Drake Maverick.
Drake Maverick, I think, could very easily find himself back in Impact. You know, I think when you've got guys of that kind of caliber where he's like a really good wrestler, kind of more of a character wrestler than, you know, your larger than life star in a little bit. You know, he's Rockstar Spud, can go back to Impact and be a very useful part of their roster. I think he could find work basically wherever he wants it, but I would probably put money on Impact.
Yeah, I think he's going to go around the independents, especially like the UK independents. He could bring a lot of new eyes over there due to his exposure. You know, he's one of the rare guys in this that was kind of in NXT, but he was released after he's gotten main roster exposure. So I think that's going to be good for him. Someone else, and someone that we really didn't talk about when we talked about Hit Row being released, but Top Dollar. Where do you think Top Dollar is going to go after Sneakergate, all his social media controversy? He was toting that WWE flag very hard. I interact with him on social media. He's a really good dude, but yeah, I mean, a lot of his tweets haven't aged very well after last night.
Listen, man, you can't go out there and be spouting off like that. Not when you're with WWE. Listen, man, I get it. When you're on top of the world like that, you think you're going to be the next big thing. And by all means, Hit Row should have been the next big thing. I wanted them to be the next great WWE faction, but you can't bet on that when it's WWE calling the shots. I'm very interested to see what he does next. Obviously, he's put out his latest rap. And he's name dropped a bunch of different promotions. Whether any of them will actually take interest in signing him, I'm not totally sure, because he's still very green. He had his first match this year, you know. So if he's able to go, and we've seen different schools train up guys like this very quickly and make them very competent pro wrestlers very fast. And he's a guy who has a lot of potential, a lot of charisma. He can talk. He's someone that I would be interested in, where it's not like some of these other like football players. Like, I don't really think I would care if I ever saw Tino Sabatelli wrestle again. You know what I mean? Guys like that, where it's like they come through the performance center, they don't really grasp it, and it's like, okay, whatever, no big loss. I would see Top Dollar having a pretty solid career in wrestling if he really wants to give it a go. So if he's able to go and work indies for a little while, get better, I could see him having a contract in a major promotion.
He's someone that I don't usually say this with a lot of big men that come from WWE, but the fastest way to learn is working with a lot of great wrestlers and in a great training school that has a history of success. Him going over to New Japan Pro Wrestling, if he humbled himself that much, and if he really wanted to succeed in professional wrestling, someone like him that just has this size and can move the way he does, I think that he would be very impressive and something that the New Japan fans would grab a hold to. But he's also a former football player and never is shy to come out and admit that. I don't see him committing that much and deciding to make the move over there. But it would be very interesting. Let's go with Ashanti the Adonis. Where do you think he's going to go?
Well, this is another really interesting one, because Ashanti the Adonis, of course, is still, he's not as green as B-Fab and Top Dollar were by any means, but he's only been wrestling for about 3 years or so. So he's another guy where he had a lot of potential, but never really got that big push in NXT. He was probably like the least interesting member of Hit Row while they were down there.
Yeah.
You know, but still has a lot of talent. So if he's a guy that can go and get better, I would love to see him work in places like PWG. You know, and working for super, super high work rate promotions, and because he has a lot of that potential, he can be a really good worker. I would just like to see him work with other great workers before I see him on TV, like cutting promos and everything like that. Cause I would like to see him get better in the ring, because there's a lot of potential there.
Yeah, I can see him going on the independents. I totally agree with you. He needs to kind of get more seasoning, I think is the best word for it, because he doesn't have that much experience, but like you said, he is a little bit more experienced than B-Fab or Top Dollar that probably need a little bit more work. Let's go with Shane Thorne. Where do you think Shane Thorne's going to wind up? Do we see TM61 reuniting outside of WWE? Does he go to New Japan, which Mikey Nichols have showed up there before? Where do you see him going?
I think that'll kind of be one of the determining factors with it, really. You know, if Mikey Nichols heads back to New Japan after this pandemic, I haven't really seen him do a whole lot. I don't know if that – I think the pandemic just has kind of halted his career a little bit, of course. They're Australian, so, you know, they've had a very good response to the pandemic and keeping all that locked down. But coming in and out and trying to go to Japan, which has been a lot more difficult, is not ideal, of course. But if they're able to come together, I could see them being a tag team in Chaos. You know, I think that'd be pretty solid in New Japan. But otherwise, I think he's another guy. I've said this on both of the two podcasts that we've done about this, where this is where these releases really start to bother me, because now that there's such an influx of talent hitting the indie scene from all of these releases from WWE and also Ring of Honor shutting down, I don't think a guy like Shane Thorne gets that contract right away from an Impact or an MLW that he might have gotten otherwise, just because there's so much talent available right now. That being said, I wouldn't be super surprised if an Impact or an MLW or a place like that, I'd just go work at like Warrior Wrestling or you know, Defy or GCW, maybe, you know, promotions like that where you can really start to build your name back up. Or maybe he goes on a comedy tour and is just Slapjack on the indies. Like, why not? I'm not going to take credit for that. That's Luke Owens' idea, but I absolutely loved it.
That would be rich. That would be so much fun. And you know how many people would go out of their way for the meet and greets to meet Slapjack as well. So
they can come up with paper plates attached to their face, the whole deal.
That's why, I totally agree with you though. Like Ring of Honor being out of the picture eliminates a place. Like that's a place immediately I would have said for Shane Thorne. If he is going to reunite with Mikey Nichols, I could see them going back to New Japan, maybe not a part of New Japan in Japan proper, but maybe New Japan Strong. They can make a difference over there. So let's go to Isaiah Swerve Scott. Where do you think Swerve is going to wind up next? And me, in my eyes, AEW, I said with the last batch of releases, Keith Lee is the guy I would immediately get, if not Keith Lee, Ember Moon. With this one, the can't miss one for AEW is Isaiah Swerve Scott, in my opinion.
I totally agree. I mean, he's the belle of the ball this time around. You know, I can't say enough good things about Isaiah Swerve Scott. You know, I watched him as Shane Strickland on the indies. I thought he was great. And then seeing him in NXT, he just kept getting better and better. And really now at this point, he could go wherever he wants. It just depends on how high he wants his own ceiling to be. You know, if he wants to go back to MLW, like, he can do that. If he wants to go and wrestle for Impact, he can do that. If he wants to take a chance on himself and wrestle with the biggest and best names in wrestling right now, you could go to AEW. And honestly, it's not like some of these other signings where I've seen from AEW. It's like, oh, I like that signing a little bit. You know, like, I'm sure Bobby Fish is going to have like a fun run there, but his ceiling is a certain level. And guys like that, Tony Nese, kind of the same way. Isaiah Swerve Scott could be like AEW champion, in my opinion. He's that good. Not like in the immediate future, because they're kind of set in their plans in a very good way. Like, I don't, you know, AEW is just great when it comes to that sort of thing. But he has that kind of potential to be the top guy in a promotion. And if he wants to go to AEW, I think he'll really flourish.
Yeah, it's something that I've talked about a few times on, you know, here on Wrestling Daily, True Hill Heat, Wrestle Talk Podcast. AEW has a portion of the people who, some are considered anti-AEW, but some are really legitimate fans, talk about how there's not that much diversity on top in the main event scene. The roster is diverse as hell. It has, you know, people of color, Hispanics, you know, LGBTQ plus community as well. But when you look at the main event scene, you got your Kenny Omega, your Hangman Page, your Bryan Danielson, your Adam Cole, your CM Punk, your MJF, your Darby Allin, your Jungle Boy. There's not much diversity at the top in the main event scene. The powerhouse Hobbs, the Ricky Starks, the Lee Moriartys, they are being built up. Dante Martin, which are doing a tremendous job of building him up and making him look like a star. They are just building those guys up. They don't have a bona fide main eventer of like that's African-American right now. But Keith Lee is out there now, and Isaiah Swerve Scott or Shane Strickland, as he's going to be known as again. I want to see them in AEW and see them flourish, have them have the opportunity to make that rise to the top that they didn't get on the main roster. One, because he was only there for 3 weeks, and the other because they never got what they had. AEW does a great job of doing that. They see something or they see a talent that somebody has and they just take advantage of it and really make it, you know, a main part of who they are. Like someone like Miro, like you said before, he was someone that was so charismatic, someone that we saw on social media or Total Divas be the star of the show because of who he is and his personality shining. And now we see that, but as a heel, as God's favorite champion, as the redeemer, I want to see that for Keith Lee. I want to see that for Isaiah Swerve Scott. So I think Swerve, out of everyone on this list of talent, AEW is definitely the place for him to go. Someone that might also, people say, AEW needs to grab up, especially for their much maligned women's division. Where do you think Tegan Knox is going to go, Tempest?
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting. I could see Tegan Knox showing up in AEW as well. You know, I think a lot of the time now, it's going to be interesting considering there are still like another, there's still a whole other batch of releases that only came out like a few weeks ago. And there's a number of really talented women in that batch as well, where I could see Ember Moon showing up. I could see Frankie Monet, Taya Valkyrie showing up. If a few more of those names come, maybe they're less inclined to bring on a number of more talent. But if they don't do that, then I think Tegan Knox fills into that role very, very well. You know, they need more established workers, you know, like there's a bunch of their own talent that they're kind of slowly developing, you know, that have come a long way, you know, whether it's Jade Cargill or Red Velvet, you know, et cetera. There's a bunch of them. Jamie Hayter for sure.
Yeah.
If you can have someone come in that doesn't need any prep work, you can just fill it like a Ruby Soho coming in. It's like plug her in right there. She's a top star in your women's division. You need more of those names. And if they want Tegan Knox to be one of those names, I don't think they're going to go wrong.
Yeah, definitely true. Everything you're saying with, because she's the type that can just come in and be the ace of a women's division. And that's why I think that Impact Wrestling might be the best place for her, because Impact Wrestling gets a lot of praise for their Knockouts division, but something that their Knockouts division has been lacking as of late is a babyface anchor or a babyface ace of the division. Like, they have Deonna Purrazza, and she's been great as the, you know, the main top star of the division, but she is very prominently a heel, and she could be a heel for like the next 5-6 years, and she could be one of their top stars of that division for the next couple of years, but she needs that babyface to play off of up top. And they had that with Kylie Rae, but Kylie Rae had her, you know, situation with her health that she had to leave. And they haven't really filled that void yet, to the point that at Bound for Glory, they kind of had to move the title off of Mickie James to freshen things up. But I think we all know, if you watch Impact Wrestling, the title's going to get back to Deonna one way or another. But we need that babyface for her to play off of. And I think Tegan Knox fits that like a glove. That would be the perfect matchup. I would love to see Knox versus Purrazza, or Newell versus Purrazza in Impact Wrestling, because they can have a lot of fun matches together. But we want to hear from you guys. Where do you think the releases are going to go? WrestleTalk.com/WrestlingDaily. We got a Ultra Chat right here in the Chamber Tempest. We got Mayor of Painesville Dan saying, here we go again, Tempest, right? Listen, mate, if you need anything, here for you. But SB3, Alex, and everyone in the chat, fear not. Love goes out to you too, and everyone release. Stay positive and have a big one. Thank you, as always, Dan. A lot of positivity to shell out over there to everyone who was released. We know our thoughts for them. And definitely, this seems like a lot of times it could be something that's very tragic on a person's career. But what we have seen over the last year, especially a year and a half, 2 years, with the abundance of releases WWE has had, is that it's mainly like a catapult. You take a few steps back to get catapulted forward in your future. So who do you think, you know, we've had the Good Brothers break out and, you know, become the top stars of Impact Wrestling from being released. You know, Miro is a top star in AEW. Out of these releases and the releases from 2 weeks ago, who do you think is going to be the star that kind of is catapulted the most further in their career from this release?
We've talked about him a lot. Genuinely, I think it's Isaiah Swerve Scott. You know, I think that you could make an argument for someone like Keith Lee, of course, but Keith Lee, I think, was a bit more established as a star. You know, he spent a year on the main roster as opposed to 3 weeks. It's still not great, but it's better than what Hit Row got. And I think the members of Hit Row, and in particular Isaiah Swerve Scott, really have an opportunity here to really solidify themselves. And Isaiah Swerve Scott has so much talent that if he wants to go and take a step to what I consider to now just actually be the big time, you can go to AEW and hopefully mix it up with guys like Brian Danielson and Kenny Omega, Hangman Page, Adam Cole. Like, there's all of your dream matches for Shane Strickland, and that's going to be just amazing. That being said, like, hopefully it's a lot of people. hopefully Keith Lee gets a chance to go out and do incredible things and be able to prove that, again, they were wrong to release him. Same thing goes for Ember Moon. Same thing goes for Taya Valkyrie. I want so much for so many different people, and fingers crossed that it all comes true for them.
I got my fingers crossed. I thank you, Tempest, for joining me and being able to talk about these releases for the third time in 12 hours. I commend you, sir. Please let the people know where they can find you, whether it be WrestleTalk, whether it be your own YouTube channel. Let them know.
Of course, of course. So you can follow me on Twitter at TempestWT. You find all my musings about WWE and AEW and all things wrestling. You can, of course, subscribe to WrestleTalk, WrestleTalk Podcast, Parts of Unknown. Make sure you do that. We're kind of revamping Parts of Unknown, just with more content coming out every single week. So that's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm really excited to show all you guys that. Of course, make sure you subscribe to Wrestling Daily, too. I want to face you guys at QuizzleMania War Games. Let's go.
Yes, the war is coming, but the next Quizzlemania, me and Sat will be on. So Wrestling Daily will have an advantage. We have a 50% chance of winning the Quizzlemania championship. And I told Sat, I'm willing to take a dive just for him. Just for him to defeat you, Tempest. That's how much I care for him. Mocha Mondays is taking over Quizzlemania next week. I can't wait.
Oh, we'll see. We'll see. As far as I'm concerned, you both have less than a 33 1/3 chance of winning when you face me at Quizzlemania Sacrifice. So let's go, brother. You and me. I'm looking forward to it.
You should have pulled out the chain hoodie. But thank you, Tempest, for joining me. Thank you, everyone in the live chat who joined us live. And, of course, our thoughts out to all the WWE releases. Until Mocha Mondays, next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. UK, with me and Sat E. We hope you all have a great Survivor Series weekend.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.